because nobody is ever satisfied with just one.
Left from McNabb, bottom of the circle. From the corner, he saucered in front. Stone scores! Flips it in out of midair on a centering pass by McNabb.
We're back with another helping of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
5 seconds to go. Faber, another shot blocked on the outside. 2-1 goes across the slot, and the game is over. Vegas survives and marches on to the second round.
Streaming at lvsportsnetwork.com and live from the Richard Harris Law Firm studios, it's Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Getting ready to drop the puck on hour number two of the VGK Insider Show, as well as game one of the Stanley Cup Final. Going to move a couple of things around here. Haven't even told the guys this, but we'll do one-timers in this segment, and we will do more of our conversation about some of the other topics that are on the agenda in the usual place of one-timers, only because the final will start in just a little bit, and we'll let you know when that happens. And we also want to let you know that game one can be heard on our sister station at Lotus Broadcasting, AM 12:30 the game, and we'll have coverage there. So don't want you to miss any of the final. Don't want you to miss some of the happenings that are going on around the National Hockey League through one-timers.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for one-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
Well, his hand was on the button, Wallace.
He was
like
dialed in.
Asteroid game. Like he was just firing bullets. He had the two spaceships going, and they were just firing against those aliens.
I used to love that game on Atari.
I was very surprised that you were that dialed in, Chapman.
Oh, I was paying attention.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well, because he told us this week that he's got like 3 weeks of shows left before he moves to the Far East. Mm-hmm. So he's proving to us, and this is his way of saying, like, I had it together. It was you guys. So he is going to go out on top of his game, and he'll always be able to come back to us and, I went out on top. I was great.
That seems very unlikely.
It would be very appropriate for Chris Chapman to be like as good as he's ever been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hit
in the last
here.
3 weeks.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
most people mail it in, he is going to turn around and be the greatest of all time. When most people are working their butt off, he was mailing it in.
Eight years of screw-ups and
8 years
forgotten by 3 weeks of a
just,
good job.
It doesn't matter how you started, Chapman. It just matters how you finish.
That's a fair point.
You know what I mean? You can look back on
years of stumbles and bumbles and mishaps, and he's going to go out with the greatest 3 weeks of his career.
Yes.
Look, if you stumble off the blocks, it's okay. As long as you finish fast. And,
okay.
and that's what you're trying to do here. Good
I
job.
Like that. I like that. That works for me.
You don't have to be the fastest. Remember that, guys. You just have to be faster than somebody else.
And the guy next will get to
them.
You. Yeah.
That'll happen. Now, we've got some coaching news. A surprise announcement from the Pittsburgh Penguins. Going with Dan Muse as their head coach to replace Mike Sullivan. Dan Muse, part of that group of newer, younger coaches. He's 42 years old. He was an assistant in a couple of different spots in the National Hockey League, the New York Rangers and the Nashville Predators, and has a little bit of managerial experience with his past as well. And it's an interesting hire. I was not front and center on this. It's very much a Kyle Dubas type hire.
Sure.
In the sense of going a little bit off the roadmap. But I did some checking around on Dan Muse because I don't know him. Mm-hmm. And talked to some people who have worked with him in the National Hockey League and in junior. He ran the Chicago team. And there's a lot of really good things coming back on Dan Muse. So whether it's Warsawski in San Jose or whether it's Carberry in Washington, we've got a nice little injection of youth on the coaching front in the NHL.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the takeaway for me, is that you're looking at, or at least seeing, more organizations willing to give up-and-comers an opportunity. And, you know, in the case of the Edmonton Oilers and Chris Knobloch, it's worked out pretty well for them. You mentioned Spencer Carberry and what he was able to do with the Washington Capitals this season. Ryan Warsawski, to me, has done a great job in a short time span with the San Jose Sharks, just getting them more and more competitive. So in that regard, I think for, you know, a Penguins team that the writing's on the wall, this is a rebuilding team, to have a guy that can kind of grow with the organization, with the team, I think makes a lot of sense. And, you know, you've got Sidney Crosby in the locker room as well, and that's kind of bridging a gap between, you know, the players, a brand new coach, and if you have Crosby buying in a similar way to what Alexander Ovechkin did with Spencer Carberry, I think it can go a long way in kind of bringing everybody together.
Yeah, I don't doubt that there is that analogy made during the process, that you bring in young Spencer Carberry. How's he going to handle the alpha dog in Alexander Ovechkin? And there's been no issues there, and they appear to be on the same page entering the last year of Ovechkin's contract. And Dan Muse dealing with not just one Ovechkin, but the likes of Malkin and Letang and Carlson. There's Ed Crosby as well. I think this hiring, the name, also gives everybody a clear indication of what's ahead for the Pittsburgh Penguins. That they've officially tried, but Dan Muse is not being brought in to resurrect championship hopes.
Oh, this is, again, clearly a team that is in need of a rebuild. They are in need of building things back up, and they're not going to be challenging for the postseason, right? Like, And that's a bitter pill when it comes to thinking about Sidney Crosby and the last couple of years that he's got in the National Hockey League. But the Pittsburgh Penguins are a long way off. And this hire indicates that management understands that and fans now understand that. And so we'll see kind of how things shake out as we go forward.
Now, they could still do what Washington did, maybe not to that extent, but find lightning in a bottle and take one more big run at it. If everything falls into place, goaltending, everything along the line. I don't want to make it sound like Muse was the only getting the job, because they're rebuilding. There's still going to be an attempt to be competitive, but if you are as an organization trying to win still, and you've got Crosby, Malkin, etc., there's a good, better than average chance that you're going with an experienced coach or somebody that that has certainly been in the National Hockey League before, which is something that Dan hasn't done as a head coach. So it'll be on him, the same as Spencer Carberry. Like, we weren't expecting what happened with the Washington Capitals, and it did occur. It'll be on Dan to make it happen in Pittsburgh.
Now, the only counter argument I would throw out there is that the Washington Capitals and their management made a lot of moves in the offseason to make the team better, to insulate not only Alex Ovechkin and his goal chase, but Spencer Carberry, giving him tools to work with to make this team better. So this is just one half of the equation, right? Like, you've got the coach in place now for the Pittsburgh Penguins. What do they do, and how do they make their team better? Because, you know, you can look to try to catch lightning in a bottle if you're in that scenario, but they need to improve their team as well in order to make that happen.
The commissioner has addressed the media in Edmonton ahead of game number one. Gary Bettman telling everybody. And this is my conversations were with Gary on the podcast 100% Hockey, and then with the leader of the National Hockey League Players Association in Walsh. This is Gary's comment today. Discussions on the CBA have been constructive, professional, and cordial, but there was no announcement of a new deal in the Stanley Cup final. There was a hope by Gary Bettman that they would be able to announce a new CBA or an extension of the new CBA at the Stanley Cup final, but that's not going to happen. Bettman added that they started a little bit later than they would have anticipated for a variety of reasons, so doesn't have an announcement to take place today. But more than a year to go on this, and Marty Walsh did tell me like they're not in any danger of a work stoppage here. They just need a little bit more time, which is the best news that we had, and that was a couple of weeks ago that Marty told me that.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it a bit here, but the game's in such a great place right now. There's a lot of momentum with the National Hockey League. The product on the ice is phenomenal as well, and you want to continue to build momentum that way because it's really how you continue to reach new heights. It's how you continue to get people interested in the game and how you increase hockey-related revenue in a large way. So that's good to hear. Good news. Certainly not that, you know, you want to wait a whole heck of a lot longer, but as long as both sides are moving in the right direction and feel like there are no major roadblocks, I think that's positive for many hockey fans.
I never really got announcing it at the Stanley Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would just upstage the final, and by the league's own metrics, they don't like that. They don't like any announcements happening on days of games in the Stanley Cup final. They will not be pleased that Pittsburgh announced the head coaching position today.
Now, yeah.
Sometimes you don't have a choice, but that will be met with a, hey, let's do this differently next time. And in a lot of cases, you have to get permission during the final or a soft, okay, pat in the back, you can go ahead with that, to make announcements like that on game day in the Stanley Cup final. So announcing in the extension of the CBA would have really led the writers or the podcasters, the bloggers, to discuss something that is not the Stanley Cup final. So that it fits with the history of the league, not to do it now. Not saying that they have a deal done anyway, but it'd be a heck of a way to kick off next season if on opening week they announce the extension of the CBA. That's when you get so much more bang for your buck.
I like that idea. Let's roll with that. Mm. First week of the season, we get a new CBA, the extension of the CBA. All is right in the world.
Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly admitted the league has decided not to formally open up its expansion process, but they are getting applications. They're accepting applications. So we're not shopping them, but we're listening to offers. Like around the trade deadline, you'll hear that every now and then.
Yeah.
They're not shopping for an expansion, but they're listening to proposals. And Daly went on to say they've got a lot of interest from people and markets who want to host NHL teams. We're taking a lot of meetings about them. We decided we're not going to engage in formal expansion processes, but somebody wants to essentially apply for an expansion franchise and has all the requisite elements that we would look for an expansion franchise, we would raise it with the board and governors to see if they have interest in it. There are some people we've talked to more than others, but there's a lot of interest, which I think we're gratified by. A lot of interest. They're looking at 34 teams.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. I understand expansion. I get it, because if you've got the ability to viably sustain franchises in more cities, it means, bottom line, good things for the league. But I like where we're at right now with 32 teams. Everything is nice and neat. The divisions make sense. It's all really, really good. And I think 32 teams, especially bringing in two franchises in the last decade, it is really kind of the sweet spot of where you want to be. So I don't know that I want to see it change all that much, but I understand growth needs to happen for the betterment of the league.
I don't mind going to 34. It would open the door to 36 at some point. That's got to be the end. Like, you can't go more than 36.
You can't go 40. You can't go all the way up to 40. Like, that's too much.
Yeah,
but you can't just, like, if you get to 36, you can't stop at 38. You know what I mean?
But 36 gives you balance on both sides.
Right. That's fine with me.
Going to 34 sets
it's a
sights
bridge.
On 36.
It's a bridge to
balance.
36.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bridge to 36. I get that.
That's where I'm looking. And I think that's got to be the end. Now, if they go to 34, we've heard a lot about Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the third time that the NHL would go to Atlanta, and it's failed the last two. Now,
yeah.
Ownership had a big say in the failure of the Thrashers,
mm-hmm.
Fractured ownership. In fact, when Winnipeg got the Jets 2.0, they were supposed to get the Phoenix Coyotes back. And then things crumbled so fast and so badly in Atlanta, mm-hmm. that the league changed and went, okay, we got to get Atlanta out of there. They're going. Winnipeg, will you take Atlanta? Yes. It's one of the seldom told stories about how Winnipeg got in and where they got in from, because everything was for so long on the lack of an owner in Arizona and Phoenix and all the issues that they had. Atlanta's failed twice. I have a hard time putting a team back in Atlanta, no matter who's owning it. I do believe Houston,
mm-hmm.
is going to get a team this next round. And then I'm open to other possibilities.
So Houston makes sense in my mind. Arizona is off the table right now, mm-hmm. in your mind?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm looking for another team. Is it Kansas City? Is it Quebec City?
I don't think
another team in Toronto is going to happen. If Toronto gets another team, it'll be in the 35-36 round, which I've already mm-hmm. established is going to happen.
Make the case for Quebec City.
Well, they have an arena, mm-hmm. and they have a fan base. The issue is, can they afford it?
Sure.
With the salary cap going up to where it is, can they make it happen financially in that market? But I would love to see a team back in Quebec City. I would love to see that geographic rival, mm-hmm. for the Montreal Canadiens. Now, Montreal doesn't want a team in Quebec City.
Sure.
They own that entire territory right now. Why would they want that back? But it was a fun franchise. It was a great franchise, and I think it would be really good, the intensity with Montreal and that just heated passion of hockey would come out. Kansas City also has a building. We've heard about them. Mm-hmm. For a long time. There's a couple of different places that they could go. Houston's the most obvious for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like Houston, and I would love to see Quebec City, mainly because I remember watching games with the Nordique. I remember kind of the what that what that felt like. And there's a nostalgia piece for me that I think would be really, really cool. So, and to be honest, like I think Canada needs more teams. I know that expansion has happened exponentially here in the States, but there's something to be said about getting another team in Canada and one that can be a major rival of one of the most storied franchises in the game.
If you're going to put another team in Canada, mm-hmm. we flat out up front with you. It should be in Toronto. And you don't play out of the same building, but it's like the Islanders and the Rangers. Yeah. One's in the city and one's in the suburbs. And they were close. They were moving down that path a few years ago, and the municipality actually voted it down. But I think that's the logical place, and the opportunity for most success to occur is putting a second team in the greater Toronto area.
Okay. There's a lot of things that I think would be really funny about that, especially if that organization comes in and they have great success and the Toronto Maple Leafs still can't figure it out in the postseason. But there's too much fatigue about Toronto area.
What do you mean?
For me. Like, everything's about the Leafs all the time. And to put another team in Toronto, so now you've got another team, everything's about that team. I can't do that.
Well, it'd be amazing for hockey related revenue. Like, the players would love it. Players would embrace that in a second.
I'm sure they would.
That's more money into salaries, and I think it would help. It would motivate the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think it would make it easier on road trips for teams, because you're really only staying in one city. There, and never mind just the pure huge fan base for hockey that exists. And mm-hmm. I'm talking about, you guys know the geography of Toronto, but there's along the waters, the south end, south part of the city, and then it goes north. And then there's a major highway. I would go above that major highway to even more so. So maybe you're 45 minutes to an hour outside of downtown. You put a rink up there, and you have some good. You got to build a rink too. You got to get that rink done. You don't want to be playing out of Scotiabank Arena as the second tenant for very long. But that's what I would do. I would do Houston, and I would do a second team in Toronto. I haven't heard a lot about the second team in Toronto lately.
Give me Houston. Give me Quebec City.
Yeah, Houston's got a great great hockey history mm-hmm. over the years. And it's just so bloody big that you've got to be able to find a good area there. Atlanta, no way. Sorry, and Kansas City, I would. I've been cheering for you for a long time, hoping you get your foot in the door. I don't know. I've heard it at different other places. Indianapolis, I've heard mentioned. I don't know whether there's an owner there that's looking to come forward. I've heard Portland along the way. I don't know whether that's realistic. Don't know the situation, but that would be outstanding from a Pacific Division mm-hmm. point of view, with Seattle and Vancouver and Portland and San Jose all the way down like that upper California, Oregon, Washington coast. That would add an element to it. Imagine like three straight expansions.
Sure.
You basically got in the Pacific Division, which again adds to the growth of the game out west, and more teams in our time zone, which I mm-hmm. think is great too.
Yeah,
because we don't have as many of those early-ish games, Houston Central Time Zone, so you're bumping it up a little bit on that. But if you're looking at east and the west, the west is likely at this point going mm-hmm. to be Houston, and that's good for the Dallas Stars too. Because
sure,
the Dallas
yeah.
Stars have some of the craziest travel in the National Hockey League. It doesn't jump out at you, but there's no, but look at a map next time you have an opportunity and look at Dallas.
Yeah.
With where all the other franchises are. And they're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, Texas is so populated, and we talk about their sports teams all the time, but from a hockey angle, they're in the middle of nowhere.
I feel like their closest geographic team that they play is Nashville, maybe.
Nashville? Like Denver?
Yeah. Yeah, they're right in the middle of nothing.
They're a couple hours from everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. You're not wrong.
So that's there's not another team like that, where your closest game is a couple of hours away. Winnipeg has Minneapolis. Winnipeg has Calgary on a flight. That's a bit of a stretch, but there's teams around there. Nevada is closer to California. Now with Salt Lake City, it's great. But, man, oh, man, if you're the Dallas Stars, you're really hoping that that it's the Houston franchise that that gets in. The awards are going to be held. We talked about that on the 12th, the NHL awards. Shannon and I were bouncing things around today because he was concerned. He's like, the awards have become, they're just going away. Like the lack of focus on the awards is really disappointed him. There was another award handed out today ahead of the actual awards, and it was the Ted Lindsay Award for the Players MVP, voted on by the players, and Nikita Kucherov wins that for the second time.
Yeah, I mean, Kucherov was awesome this year, and I think, you know, we've kind of lamented Nikita Kucherov and how little fanfare he's gotten in terms of Hart Trophy winning seasons over his career, but player MVP as voted on by the players, it gives you an idea of where he sits with his peers, and everybody in the league knows just how good Nikita Kucherov is.
Yeah, I would have given him the MVP last year, and didn't win. I was disappointed in that. So the team was trying to surprise him with the Ted Lindsay Award today. And Kucherov's already back skating. Like he skates more in the off season than anybody I know of. Tockett was telling me this the other day. Like, he's always on the ice. He went into the facility today, and the team was going to set up the presentation of the Ted Lindsay Award and the trophy when Kucherov came off the ice. But this, as luck would have it, this is the day that Kucherov said, "I'm not going to skate today." So they had to come up with a different way. So they sent Kucherov and Hedman into Julien Brisebois, the general manager's office, to talk about flying him out to the NHL awards to be eligible, or not eligible, but to be in attendance for the ceremony. And Brisebois said, "Or we could fly the trophy here." And Kucherov's like, "Which trophy?" kind of let it slip there, but they managed to get through it, and they came out of the office, and there it was. So there's the awards. We got an update on the Stanley Cup Final. We'll get into that as we continue. Again, a game one of the Stanley Cup Final can be heard on our sister station. What are the call letters there?
It's 12:30 the game.
12:30 the game. Yep. I love that.
12:30 a.m. Yep.
Yeah, over on the other side of the AM FM dial. AM 12:30 the game. It's underway. We'll tell you what's happening next on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Got an update from game one of the Stanley Cup Final. Our Stanley Cup playoff update brought to you by Centennial Subaru. Be the boss at Centennial Subaru. The opening goal has been scored.
Yep. Leon Draisaitl, his eighth of the playoffs, from Kasperi Kapanen and Jake Walman, just 1 minute and 6 seconds into the game, gave the Oilers a 1-0 lead. Shots are 5-2 in favor of the Edmonton Oilers so far in the game. And the Panthers have just started their first power play of the game. Corey Perry whistled for high sticking against Gustav Forsling. 12 minutes, 53 seconds left to play in the first period. It's 1-0 Edmonton, and the Panthers are on the power play.
It was a rebound goal that Leon Draisaitl was able to score. Came off a point shot with a tip, and Bobrovsky made a couple of saves, and then Draisaitl hammered it home, and Perry takes the penalty. So that's where you are on this whole special teams battle. Mm-hmm. We see our first example of it. The Florida power play is okay, and the Edmonton PK is bad.
Yes.
Now, where does it measure up? The on the other side, the Florida Panther PK is really good, and the Oilers power play is really good. So they should be able to have offset. There shouldn't be a large advantage when the Oilers are on the power play. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, with Florida on the man advantage, there's an opportunity for some swing in this series, and we'll see how it goes on that side. I'm not a fan of early power plays, especially early in a series.
Sure.
Because you want to get everybody involved. You're not going to decline it, but sometimes it can take some of your momentum away. But a good opportunity for the Florida Panthers in this case to silence what is one of the great environments in hockey.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it is a good opportunity for the Florida Panthers. They've not done very much with the opportunity, so the Edmonton Oilers just 9 seconds away from killing off this penalty, which is, you know, a vote of confidence for them because, as you mentioned, their penalty kill has not been very good over the course of these playoffs.
Chapman, do you want to do play-by-play? It's illegal. but
no.
Considering... No, but listen, hear me out.
Okay.
It's illegal because we don't have the rights, but you could do it because you're leaving anyway. So, like, what can they do to you?
I am actually not very good at hockey play-by-play. I tried.
Well, let's practice
No, this isn't the time for that.
Perry.
We don't want people tuning out.
David. Draisaitl. You really have to say first names or last names.
I could just say first names. That's even better, right?
Leon.
Corey.
Connor. Yeah. Well, Connor gets a little confusing because there's so many Connors in the
John.
League right now.
John plays the puck.
Are you Klingberg?
Yes.
See, you already know the names. And by now, we know most of the numbers.
That's true.
You could do it.
I don't think so.
And really, though, they're not going to waste their time on Lotus, the FCC, or the National Hockey League. They're going to come right at you, and you're going to be out of the country on the other side of the world.
Yeah, Sports
USA
may have no chance of finding you. They may not allow us to have the rights to the games anymore, which Sports USA provides us with more than just hockey. I've actually worked for Sports USA.
Really?
Yes. When I did the sideline reporting for the UNLV football games this year.
Against
Boise State and Syracuse.
Yeah. Remember that.
They were both on Sports USA.
So you weren't afraid to drop in the odd commentary in that. So let's give it a shot.
No, I think I'll pass.
Come on.
Nope.
I sent you guys a picture. Somebody sent me this on one of the social apps today. Corey Perry and I in 2004 at the Memorial Cup. Corey Perry's team at London outdueled Sidney Crosby's Rimouski Club in the championship game. There was no hockey at all that year. So they were it, and it was a star-studded affair. It was the most attention major junior hockey's ever received, but takes you back a ways, and to think Corey Perry back then, and Corey Perry now still going, it's like all the things that have happened in our lives since 2004, and
sure.
This guy's still going.
It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah,
I mean he just again. I said it the other day. I didn't expect Corey Perry to be here now at age 40 doing what he's doing, but he is. And he has been just an Iron Man in that regard. Like, he just continues to find ways to help teams win, and he's a key contributor. And, you know, the fact of the matter is he had a great early start to his career, incredibly, incredibly proficient scoring goals. And he's remodeled his game as he's gotten older. And there's no sign of him slowing down or stopping playing, and it's awesome.
And he looks the same basically. A lot
more
of kids
or less,
when they're 19, they look like kids. He's pretty similar on the aging side of it. That's impressive because most players fill out and they mm-hmm. bigger and facial hair and everything. I give Pears credit. He's the worm has aged well.
He's got that like boyish what did I do look to him, right? Yeah. Like I think that's kind of
or maybe it's like why is this guy talking to me right now? I want to go do something.
Well, you haven't aged much in the picture either.
No.
Like you're doing okay for yourself.
Just a little gray. I got that gray streak. That's it.
Have you
I might take
had
the gray
that?
Out for next year.
No, why would you do that? It's like your trademark.
Yeah.
It's your signature.
But I might just do it and see if anybody notices.
Well, you just talked about it right now.
But in 2 months, like we'll still be like mourning over Chapman's loss.
Mm.
So
we won't even be
paying attention to it. And I'll just pop on the end and they'll go, oh, he looks good.
I wonder
what's different about him. I wonder if people would even notice.
How often would you have to keep that up? Like how often would you have to
every
buy
month.
That?
Every month.
Okay.
Yeah. Like you keep track of of the hair growing out. And
Are you committed to that? Because that,
no,
that's
no,
like a
no,
commitment.
I just, it came into me because I, on the podcast, on mm-hmm. Rita, get ready, 1, 2, 3, slam it, tequila, baby. we had Keith Pelley on earlier this week.
Okay.
He is the president of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. Mm-hmm. Now, Keith Pelley, in his earlier career, was the guy in charge of TSN in Toronto, the sports network. Mm-hmm. And Keith offered me a job when I was in Edmonton, and so did Sportsnet, like on the same day. But Sportsnet offered me a job like 6 hours earlier. And Pelley was sour that I turned him down. And then he came back at me and tried to hire me again, but there was a merger, a corporate merger, that stopped it at the 11th hour, or else I would have been going over to TSN. So I couldn't do that, and he was sour. And then Pelley eventually became my boss at Rogers at Sportsnet, and upon giving me an opportunity to be a national host, to host a Wednesday night hockey, said, you can do it, but you have to dye your hair. You have to get rid of that gray stripe. Now, he didn't tell me that. The guy that was passing along the information did. Mm-hmm. So I called Pelley out on it the other day. I'm like, hey, what do you think the gray streak now? And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you said I had to dye. He's like, I did? And he totally didn't own it. Didn't own it at all. So
Now
I'm thinking, maybe I just revisit it and I just do it on my own as a form of healing, self-healing, and being the guy.
You wanna sneak one more update in on the game?
Yeah.
Okay. Sam Bennett. Tied the game, 10:49. His 11th goal. No, not on the power play. 11th goal of the playoffs for Sam Bennett. It was challenged for goalie interference. The Oilers lost that challenge. And Brad Marchand has just made it 2-1 Florida on a power play goal from the failed challenge. So it's 2-1 Florida. Brad Marchand, Sam Bennett, the goal scores.
Not surprising that we've had a 3-goal first period. Or 3-goal first 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Given what I talked about in hour number one, coming off the extended layoff and just not being sharp enough. Mm-hmm. I think the second period, third period, we'll get closer to the games, and game 2, 3 will be in the series. But this has the 6-day layoff written all over it.
Yeah.
Tough for goaltenders and defensemen. Mm-hmm. With battle levels in front, because you can't do that to your teammates. You can't do that. And you haven't really got it going in 6 days. You've practiced, you've skated, but you haven't really got the juices going. And goaltending, you can't replicate rebounds and scrambles and the traffic that you get in a game. And that was the Oilers' goal. And was exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, you're right on the money.
2-1 Panthers as they play in the first period. That's your update brought to you by Centennial Subaru. Be the boss at Centennial Subaru. Catching up with Chapman next on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
Oh, Christopher.
Hi, Darren. So I always enjoy when I hear conversations about expansion because it's one of those topics that I think is cool. But it's just kind of a shame that there's really not a lot more growth in the Canadian markets for expansion. You guys mentioned Quebec City and possibly a second team in Toronto. But after that, there's really nowhere else you could put a team that
way. There's thoughts a few years ago of Saskatoon. That was a long time ago for you, but still. St. Louis was going to move to Saskatoon. In fact, St. Louis missed an entire draft. Did not make a single pick in a draft as they struggled to find ownership to stay in St. Louis. But Saskatoon's too small.
Wow. Yeah, that I never heard that before.
Was that Purina? Was that? I feel like that was the group that owned St. Louis or was going to own St. Louis.
Yeah, it was a very difficult time for that franchise. They came back, they got a new rink, and they were good. But they were all in, for lack of a better term, in Saskatoon. And then they got
1983,
saved and turned around.
1983, by the way.
Was there you
when,
go.
Yeah.
You remember that, right?
I was four.
Yeah. I wasn't born.
With your eyes on Tokyo.
Yes. Yep, even
then. As a four-year-old. Wow. And a dream about to come true for Chapman.